All right, let's talk about my social uniform. And I remember when I was talking about the BGM song, I said, you know, it's interesting about the sounds that people use to make their song really influences how people feel about it. And in the first few seconds of this, of hearing this song, I felt like, oh my God, this is from the 80s. And, you know, it's those heavenly synth strings and vocals, the heavy kick drum, and the super reverb-laden synth hand claps and finger snaps, and then, you know, some really fast 16th note hi-hat patterns. All that adds up to be a very definite 1980s sound, which immediately drags in a bunch of feelings about, you know, popular music from the 1980s. So how I feel about that is sort of irrelevant, but it's just something to know that, you know, you're already going to be getting a bunch of people's perceptions when you really zero in on those sounds. And it's just interesting which sounds lead to those perceptions and why. You know, there's the sound of a gated kick drum or a gated snare drum that was like all over the 80s. That's like just something else that's sort of triggering that you hear. But regardless of, you know, how I feel about the music of that time, I can tell that this is super well produced, and all of the elements I think sound great together. I really like his singing. I think the mix is really clear and really well produced, and he does a lot of very clever tricks to make the chorus pop. You know, not only by adding sort of unique instrumentation and sounds that only come into the chorus, but the transition between the verse and the chorus, he uses a reverse cymbal to get that sort of whooshing sound as you go right into the chorus, and it's just a really nice lift. You know, I had a hard time getting past some of my 80s biases for this song, but I could certainly tell that it was really thoughtfully done and well-produced and well-crafted song.
Yeah. Yeah, my first impression was, holy cow, it's Gloria Estefan. And that they cryogenically froze Gloria Estefan in 1986 and then thawed her out for a couple of weeks ago. Just pushed her into a recording studio with her old synthesizers and drum machines and didn't let her to listen to any newer music. And then she recorded this. And I'm certain that's exactly what happened. Now, I mean that as a comical comparison, but also as a compliment. I mean, that vocal performance is amazing, and the production quality is incredible, and the song is just fantastic and objectively, you know, wonderful in that way. But I also think that kind of late 80s to 90s diva pop is sort of a low point in the history of musical innovation and style. And obviously I'm wrong when I say that by any objective metric, but I still kind of can't help but feel that way. It's like this is par for the course for that whole genre. And we've heard this before. Again, it's objectively a fantastically produced and fantastically performed, wonderful song with good lyrics. If this was American Idol instead of Song Fight, then they wouldn't take any song seriously except for this one. But it's not. It's
this... Do you mean if this was American Idol and it was these 11 songs?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it'd be everything would be a joke except for this song.
This is like the peak in production, whereas the See Something CCRTV Zero is the valley.
Okay, I take
of production.
It back. Two songs would be taken seriously. Yeah, no. I mean, that's the thing. This is wonderful. This is fantastic. It is like a time capsule, though. It's like if she said, "Oh, I found this old demo track from Gloria Estefan with the exact same title," and then she just put it in here, I wouldn't be all that surprised, because it does sound wonderful. It does sound professional. It sounds great. The lyrics are great, but it's so of that time and so of that style. And I never liked that. And that's absolutely genre bias. No doubt about it. Yeah. But I can't get my head around that.
I really like this song. Did you guys read on the board his little note about this song? Well, I'll just pull it up. It's written about my wife. We recently lost her father after a long battle with dementia. It's hard to expose real emotions, but essentially this is how I've tried to approach supporting her through this and deal with my own grief at the same time. Obviously, none of the specifics of that come through in the lyrics, but I think that's okay. You know, I was complaining about the BGM song, like there's no details, there's nothing to grab onto. I don't know anything about this story. Whereas, you know, in this case, I think it works because it lets the listener enter into the song and you can repurpose the song for your own needs. Everybody knows someone who is going through something terrible and kind of wondering how they can be there to support them. So the fact that the lyrics were a little bit sketchy, I think worked. I really liked the bridge lyrics, the kind of, you know, it doesn't get any easier. I don't remember exactly, but there's the line about just dragging your baggage along. I thought that was really well done. I do have a very specific complaint about one specific lyric. So he uses basically rhyming couplets throughout. And then the chorus goes, I'm going to pull it up so that I am sure that I'm doing it correctly. The chorus says, I will carry this for you, hold you up until your feeling returns. I will carry this for you. I remember how it... There's only one word that logically fits here, and feels is not the correct word. And there are three reasons for that. One is that it doesn't rhyme. Two, feels is a neutral word, like no specifics, like everything feels somehow. It's even worse than Berkeley Social Scene's Making Music to describe making music. So right, feels right. Doesn't tell you anything. And you just used the word feeling in the previous line, like you're using it again. And so all three of those problems are solved by using the word burns instead of feels. Till your feeling returns, I remember how it burns. It rhymes. It's a specific feeling. It actually conveys some kind of connotation, and it doesn't repeat the word that you already used. So, sir, I would like you to re-record this song. Don't even have to re-record the song. You just have to re-record that one word.
Just punch it in.
And then the song's going to be great. Oh, I did have two small... Here's the deal. When I pick nits like this, it's because I really like your song, and I don't have any, like, overall giant problems with it. So I'm going to seem really petty about these tiny problems, but it's because I want it to be the best song that it can be. And then did you guys notice in the, I don't know if I didn't like this, I just thought it was weird, in the verses there's like reverb on the second half of every vocal phrase?
Yeah, I did notice that, like it was dry and wet alternating.
The like A phrase was ascending, so the end of the phrase was this like big kind of anthemic thing, and so that worked well because it's like he goes up, it's a big moment, and there's reverb. But the B phrase is descending, and it ends on a low point, and it's just kind of weird to have reverb on there. I don't know. I don't quite know how I felt about that very, very specific choice. I thought it was a little bit weird. Other than that, though... Yeah, his voice is gorgeous. The melodies are great. I really like in the later choruses where he has kind of an echo backing vocal. So there's some kind of a polyphonic thing. I liked the very ending. There was like, this is kind of a gross word, but it was like kind of a tribal drum kind of feeling at the very end, kind of a very 80s, but it sounds really cool. So yeah, lots of really, really great choices made throughout this. And side note, really sorry, dude, about losing your father-in-law. And I know that dementia sucks so, so bad. And the like one good thing about this is that you got this really great song out of it.